The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. We have this 2 days of Advent left, really, and today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the church is trying to tell us something important in these readings. The church is always trying to tell us something important, but I think especially today, let's start with that first reading from the prophet Micah, one of the Old Testament prophets from whom we do not hear too frequently. And what he says, well, what the Lord says through Micah, is that the Lord, when he comes, when the ruler of Israel comes, the long-awaited for Messiah, it says that he's going to come from this tiny town that no one's ever heard of, Bethlehem Ephrathah. And in fact, scripture scholars have said that the reason why Micah had to specify Bethlehem Ephrathah was because apparently there was another Bethlehem, that this was such an obscure place. It would be like if someone said, you know, the next president of the United States is going to come from Nanjamoy. You're like, where's that? You know? No offense to anyone from Nanjamoy. We'd have to say, no, the Nanjamoy in Charles County. but that's what's going on here, is the Lord is saying, from this tiny obscure place that we no one's ever heard of, is going to come the long-awaited Messiah. And it's interesting because right after that he says, the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient times. So this very important person who has been around forever, is going to be born, is going to come from this tiny obscure place. And obviously, in hindsight, we look at that and we say, well, that's obviously a reference to Jesus Christ. Because his two natures and his divine nature, he is the ancient one. He is the one who's been around forever. The second person of the Blessed Trinity. And yet, in becoming a human being, taking on our human nature and choosing to be born in this tiny little town that no one's ever heard of before, that Christ is fulfilling that prophecy for Micah. But I think it can get pushed a little bit further. Because one of the things I've been trying to preach throughout the Advent season is that we celebrate, the word Advent means coming, comes from the Latin verb advenire, to come. In Advent, we're celebrating the coming of Christ, but sometimes people think, oh right, yeah, at Christmas, right? We're celebrating Christ's first coming. Well, no, that's one of the three comings that we celebrate in Advent. But we also celebrate in Advent, towards the beginning of Advent, you might have noticed the readings talked a lot more of the second coming, the end of the world. Thank God the Mayans were right, and that didn't happen yesterday. But in Advent, we look forward to the first coming of Christ at Christmas. We look back to the first coming of Christ at Christmas. We look forward to his second coming again at the end of the world. But there's a third coming, which happens between those two, the middle coming, the fact that Christ comes to us every single day in the sacraments. And I think that first reading applies just as equally to the first coming of Christ as it did to that middle coming in the sacraments. In the Word of God that we hear proclaimed, and all those middle ways that Christ comes to us, because it's often in these tiny, obscure ways that we would never expect. It's the power and glory of that second coming, kind of commingled with the humility and weakness of his first coming, And that's what the sacraments are, right? The great grace, the great power contained, for instance, in the Eucharist, and yet being veiled under a seemingly insignificant piece of bread, right? So I think what the church is trying to tell us is not to miss that middle coming of Christ. Yes, it's important that we remember his first coming at Christmas. And it's important that we give thanks to God that he sent someone like us that to suffer and die for our sins. That's the great thing we celebrate in Christmas, that God himself became a human being, took on our nature, so he could take the debt that was properly ours and suffer and die for it. We thank God for that first coming. And I'm not trying to say that that's not important. But it's in the past. And that second coming is in the future. And we don't know when. And we shouldn't be anxious about when it is. We should just make sure that we're ready. Jesus Christ himself in the gospel said that even he didn't know when it was going to be. So obviously the Mayans aren't going to know and no one else is going to know. But the important thing is to be ready whenever that happens. And how do we do that? We meet him in that middle coming, in the sacraments, in the Word of God. Right? And it's so important that that's what we focus on, that we make sure that we're not missing him when he comes in those seemingly small, insignificant ways, that we're not writing him off because of the smallness of the way in which he chooses to meet us. Now let's look at the gospel, because the gospel tells us something very important, kind of the part two. What do you do once you have encountered Christ, perhaps in a very small way? You know, I forgot who said it, but some saint had said once that even a single reception of Holy Communion is enough to make you a saint. So the gospel is kind of telling us, okay, what do we do when we do encounter the Lord? When we have that, perhaps in a very small, unseen way, only that we and the Lord really know about, what do we do? The gospel tells us, in the example of the Blessed Mother, what did Mary do just a few verses before this gospel passage that we just heard? What did Mary do? The angel had come to her in this tiny little village of Nazareth to a very seemingly insignificant Jewish girl and gives her this great message, asks her for her permission for God's great plan. She gives her permission. And imagine, a very seemingly insignificant thing. Tiny little town, a young Jewish girl, no one else witnesses this conversation between her and this angel, and yet she has this amazing encounter with the Lord. She conceives the second person of the Blessed Trinity in her womb, and now this gospel passage today picks up, and what does it say? Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste. Because remember, the angel Gabriel, after telling Mary God's plan and asking for her permission, the angel Gabriel then said to her, oh, and by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, who's old and barren, she is 6 months pregnant. And so Mary's reaction is, I need to go help her. I need to go and do God's will. And Mary had this instant awareness of what needed to be done. What we heard in the letter to the Hebrews, the author to the letter of the Hebrews is quoting Christ as saying, you know, I don't want these sacrifices, these sin offerings that were common in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. What he's saying is, behold, I come to do your will. That's what God wants. That's the greatest sacrifice, is to sacrifice our time and effort to put aside our will and to do God's will. And that's exactly what Mary did. Mary said, you know what? I just got this great message that my cousin is 6 months pregnant. And imagine what's going through Mary's mind. Mary's thinking she's old. She's 6 months pregnant now. I need to go help her. Mary doesn't even think about herself. She sets out in haste. That's what the gospel tells us. She sets out in haste. So I think this gospel is telling us what we should do. We should emulate the Blessed Mother in her response to that seemingly insignificant encounter with the Lord. When we meet the Lord, when we encounter the Lord again and again in those middle comings of Christ, his coming to us here and now, between his first coming and his second coming, his coming to us here and now, when we encounter the Lord there, we should follow the example of the Blessed Mother and not think about ourselves and say, okay, well, what is God's will? That's the sacrifice that he wants. To sacrifice my own time and effort and energy and perhaps finances at times, to sacrifice everything that I need, my own will, and I'm going to go help out other people, to follow the example of the Blessed Mother. So let's, as Advent winds to a close, and as we prepare to remember the first coming of Christ at Christmas, let's continue to be aware of meeting him in those small, seemingly insignificant ways. Let's continue to meet him in those ways, and then to do what the Blessed Mother did, and to set out in haste to do the will of God.